All right. Did y'all have a good weekend? Amen.
Do you need to sit down, Bill, sir?
I might.
He might, and I'm just gonna sit up here if you have to.
Yeah.
Okay. He'll just sit up there, he's sitting.
I'll just stand.
Hope I don't have to, but I don't know what's happening right now, but hey, Lord does. The Lord does. Trying to find a verse of scripture, the Lord. John chapter 21, verse 3. Then I'm gonna be going from there, here and there and everything. But I just wanna thank each and every one of you for coming out and supporting the revival, and I know that you didn't come out just because you've done it for me, you've done it for the Lord, and you've done it for yourself. I know that. But you know, I really don't know how to put it. Sometimes we just think that we need to do it out of obligation. But it's not, and you don't do it out of obligation, I don't believe. I don't believe that. I don't believe that you feel likely that you're obligated to do it. You do it because you love the church and you love the Lord. I believe that with all my heart. But we just need to pray one for another. I tell you, we're living in a day and time. And I was reading something this morning, probably 4 o'clock. I really would. I couldn't sleep. So. But I was reading something this morning about 4 o'clock. And it was written back, and it was scripture-wise, and it was written back in, it was either 570 or 600, I forgot, or 670, but it was written there, and where was that? It was over in the book of Leviticus, I believe it was. But what they were speaking about, well, I mean, what I read and what I saw there, is the way that the things were back then. And it was speaking about the government. And I continue on reading it, and I said, that sounds just like the United States. And everything that I read, it sounded exactly like and what we're going through today here in the United States of America with the election. And I mean, you know, I don't understand these people that says that we should not bring up politics. It's not politics. It's God's word. And we know it's God's word. We don't have to think about it any other way, but it's God's word. Anytime that we speak about the legislator and the government, the president, the leaders of this country, It's all biblical. It comes from God's word. And they are not living it. They're not living right. They're not living the life. But I was just amazed at how close. I mean, it spoke. It spoke about the wickedness. Spoke about murder. It spoke about the homosexuals. It spoke about everything that the United States is going through right now. And said the leaders. The leaders back in that time, they were saying, you will turn your back on God because you're self-motivated. To me, that's exactly what the leaders have done. They've turned their back on God and they don't know exactly what to do anymore. I don't believe they know. But they use the word Christianity so lightly. But here in John chapter 21 and verse 3, it says, and this is a service in self-will under human leadership, and this is Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fishes coat unto them, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land. But as it was 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish lay thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish, and 153. And all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Oh, look at that number there, 153. That 153 means, and it's given an indication of the souls that needs for each and every individual needs to reach. We need to reach the souls I hear. And when we reach one and when we leave that one to the Lord, that does not tell us that we can just quit.
because we've done our part. We've done our part in reaching somebody for the Lord Jesus Christ. No, only thing that does is teach us that we must continue on winning as many as we can. But we see right here where the Lord Jesus, through Peter here, has given them a number. The number of fishes that Peter wants to be caught, that the Lord wants Peter to catch. And says, drew the net to land full of great fish, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. The net right here was not even broken. It was not even torn. It was not even given weight to it. But we must realize that we have people out here that only we as individuals can reach, Faith Baptist Church can reach. You have a good afternoon. All right, we'll be praying for you. But we have so many individuals out here that we need to reach. If we don't reach them, who's going to reach them? Nobody. And we do not know where that soul, that last individual is at. We have no idea where they're at. They could be completely overseas in Germany. They could be in Russia. They could be somewhere else overseas. They could be right here. Right here in our own back door. They could be right here across the street from Faith Baptist Church. That last soul that needs to get in to complete the bride. Where the bride can be able to stand, and the bride can be able to put that veil on. Put that veil on for the headrest, where we could be completely dressed out. Because the Lord Jesus is not going to come back after his people when they're halfway dressed. Now that's what we would be, is halfway dressed, or we won't even be dressed at all if we don't have the veil on. The veil means so much in God's word. And I think it means so much in the life of the church today. We don't have people today that wants to get married and they don't want to say, well, we're setting aside December the 15th, that day that we're going to get married. And they really can't. They really cannot come and stand before the church and stand before God. Pure whiteness. They can't come and stand in a pure white gown. Why? Because today they want to try. They want to try living together for a while. And if we can make it 6 months without a fight, if we can make it 6 months without this or that, an argument, then we'll set aside a date and we'll get married. Because I know that we can live together as husband and wife. They don't think about marriage today. They don't think about what the symbol is all about. You don't become one until you
are married. That's the only way you become one. It's when you get married. Me and my wife, when we was going together, when we was dating and everything, we was two individuals. But the day that we got married, and the day that we put the ring on, we became one individual. So if she hurt, I hurt. If I hurt, she hurt. And I'm supposed to take up for her. She's not supposed to take up for me. I'm supposed to take up for her. We don't want to do that no more. Sad to say, people today, they don't even know what the idea of marriage is all about. They really don't. But they need to start thinking about it. They really did do. And I'm going to tell you something else too. I have had an opportunity to marry two couples. Yes, and I talked to them before they got married. And I asked them, was they saved? A four of them said yes, they was. But I still don't think today they even had the concept of what marriage was really about. Because it wasn't long after one of them, after they got in an argument, and they started fussing between themselves, they separated. Then I had one to tell me, say, well, I don't love them no more. If an individual can come up and say that after they've been married for 10 minutes, 2 years, 20 years, or 35 years, and they come up and say, I don't love you no more, they've been living a lie the whole time. Because they've never loved the individual. Because if you love the individual, you're going to stick with them. You're going to stay with them through thick and thin. That's like the church. The church needs to come together in unity. With the symbol of this ring. That we all are one. Why? We are the bride of Christ. If you're saved this morning, you're the bride of Christ. Now, being a bride, what does that mean? You're married, right? That's the way I look at it. Because I just ain't nobody just going with somebody. I'm married because I'm his bride. See, he looks at us as the bride. Why does he look us as the bride? Because he looks at us as the church. And we know the church is the bride of Christ. And we are the church. We come in unity together. And when we break that cord, when we break that unity, when we break that vow with God, We done something that we cannot get out of. Because you've disappointed God. I've disappointed God. If I made a vow to God, and if I go against that vow, I've broken His heart. I've broken His heart. I don't want to break His heart. I don't see where there's nobody wants to really break His heart. We love Him. You love Him today. You know how I can tell that you love Him? And I'm not going by what you said and through your testimony when you spoke up, when we give testimonies and stuff like that. I'm not going by any of that. You know how I know? Because you're here. Because you're here at each and every service. The individuals just come in, fly by night. They just come in and they claim that they are Christian and everything. But yet they come in. And then they want to leave. They don't come back tonight. They may happen to come back Wednesday night. But they don't come back Sunday. They're going to always miss. They're going to miss. And any time that you miss a service in God's house, you will miss one of God's choice blessings for you. Because He has each one of our names on a specific blessing. Because He knows the blessing that it's going to take to encourage me. He knows the blessing that it's going to touch, that you need to be touched with to encourage you to do more, to encourage you to do something else. But He will bless. I have no doubt about that in the world. He does bless. He blesses us in spite of ourselves. We can go back and look at the revival. He blessed us last week during the revival. And then an individual come up all of a sudden and just say, "I just feel led." To give you this check. Hey, you just don't come out of the wild blue and just say, "Well, I'm going to do it." You may with $5 or $20, you may. But $1,000? She was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. What they give, they'll get back fivefold. Fivefold. Some will get back tenfold. Some will get back a hundredfold. It depends on how faithful that they are to God. And I want to be faithful to Him. You know how I can be faithful to Him? Through y'all's prayers. You know how you can be faithful yourself? It's through our prayers for each other. We lack the prayer life. We'll spend 10 minutes in prayer and we think we've done something. What we should do, we should go and spend 30 minutes in prayer and take the 10 minutes and just reading the scripture. And why don't we do that? I don't know. See, I'm just as guilty as the next one.
I ring because I like to just try to get up here and do what God's asked me to do. But see, God's not going to give me the power unless I pray first. God's not going to give you the strength and the ability to be able to speak to someone unless you've prayed first. I'm going to ask this, and I don't know. You don't have to raise your hand. I want to ask you something. How many neighbors, friends, people that you just come in contact with, you may come in contact with them every week at the grocery store or a waitress or something like that. But how many of you would say to yourself, can I do more? Can I do more? Can you? I can. I can do a whole lot more. Sometimes I feel like I'm just lazy. I just get in my chair at the house, and the chair feels so comfortable, and I'm contented to it. I should not be. The chair should not be so comfortable. Just like the padded pews here in church, they should not be so comfortable that people can come in, and they can just come in, and they can be comfortable. Because the house of God is a place of no comfort. And what I'm talking about there is the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit is not working on each and every one of us, every time that we come into the house of the Lord, then something is wrong with us. Something is wrong with us. Something is wrong with me when I come in and I just sit there on the pew. And I won't lift my hands and I won't wave my hands to my Savior. And I won't shout to my Lord and my Savior. Why? Over in the Old Testament, it speaks of that. It speaks of, well, if I won't wave my hands, and if I won't lift my hands up and give Him praise, and give Him glory, and give Him honor, then He's going to ask the wind, which represents the Holy Spirit, to move the limbs on the trees. I don't know if y'all saw in the paper, here, I don't know, a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I reckon it was, when that storm was coming through. But in the front yard of this individual, there was a tree in the front yard. That tree was probably as big as around as this right here, or bigger. It was a big tree. It was tall. It wasn't dead either. It was in front. The tree was right here, and the house was right here. God's trying to get in touch with the people. The Lord allowed that wind
to uproot that tree. And when it uprooted that tree, the roots and all the dirt was there was taller than I was probably. Probably taller. But it did not even touch that house. God's trying to tell the people here something. Not just here in Danville, not just here in Ringo. But God's trying to tell people something. Here in the United States. And in the world. But the people just will not heed. The people just cannot see. We have Christians out here. They don't even see. They don't even see what God's trying to do. And I had a Christian to tell me this a while back. They said, well, preacher says, I use the King James Bible, but some of it I just don't understand and everything. I said, well, I said, I know. I said, well, some of the scripture in the Bible, I just don't understand, but I don't worry about them. I worry about the ones that I do understand, and when God wants me to go back to it, to the ones that I don't understand, then He will reveal it to me. And he says, you know, it can't be much longer before the Lord comes back and takes us all home. I says, no, we can't. He said, because you can look all around us in the United States of America, and you can even go and look overseas where storms and the rain is destroying all of these villages. And you can look when a hurricane comes, that the hurricane will dump so much water, so much rain on a state, and that state will be flooded in water. And it's just not in the south. It's in the south. It's in the west. It's in the east. It's all around us. So the Lord's, He's coming back after. We can see the handiwork He's doing. I says, you know, the floods that He brings us and all the hurricanes He brings us, we don't need to be looking at that for the second coming. They said, why not? Says, hey, He's going to flood the earth. I said, wait a minute. He may flood the earth, but He will not flood it like He did in Noah's day. Because we have the promise. He has given each one of us a covenant. And He did not keep that covenant from us. He shows us that covenant just about once, at least once a month, when it rains, and then the heat comes back up, we see the rainbow. He said, what the rainbow got to do with it? I said, that rainbow is a covenant. And what that means is that the earth will never be flooded. Not like it was in the day of Noah. So we're not going to be flooded out. And what you're talking about, anyhow, what I think you're talking about
the tribulation period anyhow. And I told him, I said, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be here during the tribulation. I said, because the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, we're going to have peace. There's not going to be no fighting. There's not going to be nothing going on like that. Almost be complete harmony. Because, see, the Antichrist has then come on the scene. And he wants everybody to think that he loves them. And everything that he does, he's going to do it for them. They're going to benefit from it. The Antichrist, the devil, he's a liar. Always has been a liar. And he's the father of all lies. But some people think that we're going through some portion of the tribulation. I don't know what Bible that they are reading. But if they go through it, they're going to go through it without me. They're going to go through it without me because I'm not going to go through it. How you know, preacher? How you know you're not going through it? God's Word tells me so. God's Word tells me so. And I'll say this, and I'm going to say this in closing. This is what I think. This is what I believe, and I could be completely wrong, which a whole lot of time I am. But 3.5 years, now just think about it. 3.5 years of peace. Where harmony is going to take place. I've heard some news commentators say, well, don't make a difference which one is voted in, the President of the United States. Said the Lord's coming back. I said, what? They couldn't hear me. I said, how can you say that? I mean, I know the Lord can come back any moment, any day. And even with the 4 years, now which one we ever get, I don't know. But when he does take us home, and he can take us home any day, that particular day is going to be complete harmony for us. Because then we're going to go home. Then the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's going to be revealed then. Who's the Antichrist? I have no idea. I thought it was Obama. But, you know, which I know his term ain't completely up. Still could be Obama. Even out of the White House. Still could be him. I mean, he acts like the Antichrist. All the politicians there look like the Antichrist. Every last one of them. We don't have any of them up there at all that speaks like a Christian. And some of them said, well, I'm with the conservative movement. Well, you may can be conservative all you want to, but if you're conservative,
I don't want to be no part of it. Because you cannot be a Christian You cannot be saved. I don't believe. This is me now. I'm not saying. I'm not putting something in God's Word. This is me just thinking. And what I know. And what I've read in the Bible. But I do not think an individual that has been born again, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, where thy name has been written on the roll there in heaven, I do not believe that they can run for office. And so, preacher, you shouldn't have said it that way. He says, yeah, they can run. Let me ask you something. Who did we think when they were running this time? What did we think about Donald Trump when he first said he was going to run? What do we think of Hillary Clinton? Well, we knew more about Hillary because it's been going back for 40 years for her. But we can't, as Christians, we cannot go up there and say the things that they have said. And say it in the manner that they said it, in a hateful tone. Hey, they don't like each other. They hate us. They hate both of them. She hates him and he hates her. How can you hate somebody and say that you're a Christian? And here she was up there, she was quoting scripture. And here he was up there, he was quoting scripture too. And when I heard that, I said, Lord, I'm so sorry for you. Lord, they're quoting scripture and they don't even know what it means. And they're doing it just to get votes. Think that they can get the Christian vote. That's one privilege we do have. We have a privilege to vote. And I'm going to vote my conscience. And I'm not going to tell you which way to vote. And really, when it really comes right down to it, I really don't want to vote. But I know if I don't vote, then the ones that gets in, and this is not the one that I think should got it, by me not voting, put them in office. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we ask God that you'll go with us today. Father, that you'll speak to our hearts. And Father, we are people that's in need of prayer. We are people, Father, in need of something special from heaven. Something special from thy throne room. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you would help us this day to walk closer to you than we have before. And Father, once again, I just want to thank you for the revival that we've had. Thank you, Lord, for that gift that was given
you'll bless the individual and bless this church. Bring the people in that has not even come, has not even tried. Father, we just ask, Lord Jesus, if they'll just come and give us a try. Not just come one service and then don't come back. I'm talking about coming. And Lord, in giving you a chance to speak to them through the Holy Spirit, I believe that they can find them a home. And Lord, I pray for these individuals today. Father, that you will keep each one of them safe and out of the harms and out of the hands of Satan. Put that hedge of protection around each and every one of your servants today. Father, we thank you and we love you. Because it's in the sweet and the lovely name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen and amen.
Page 222. There's a fountain. 222.
The Lord's spoken to you.